I'm Kier from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who fandom podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today I have the return of one of my favoriteest guests that I've ever had on the show. And everybody dance in your seats. It is Scott Nicewinder.
That's me. I was dancing in my seat just then as if there was music going on. I imagined it was like a bum, 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 like that jam. That's how I imagine the introduction. Like, give it up. Yes, let's go. I'm here. I'm Scott Nicewinder.
It was a very much inspired by, but legally distinctly different version of that song.
Yeah, changed a couple notes around, made it like a little slightly faster, potentially. Totally fair use, 100%.
We run totally legal here. Mm-hmm. Which is how I got a copy of Ultraverse Prime, and I'm not lying at all, for my Sega CD, and which is why we're here today. We're going to talk about Ultraverse Prime.
Very fun. Can I make a confession? I tried to get in like a emulator version, but this game is so hard to find in any capacity.
See, here's the fun part. Do you have an actual Sega CD?
See, I don't.
Oh, see, that's where it gets hard for you.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why I even tried. Yeah.
Sega CD, just burn it, because the copy protection is that burners are expensive.
No. All of my old video game consoles mysteriously disappeared when I was like in high school or middle school or something. So I don't know where they all went. But I was definitely a Sega family growing up. We had the Sega Game Gears. Gotta love those. You need 6 AA batteries to play them. They last about 2 hours. Good stuff. I had the Sega Genesis. Gotta play. What game did I play on that one? Bonkers was that one? I don't know. Yes. Love a good Sega game. Music's always good, I think.
For the most part, anyway. I have a confession to make here, too. I tried to find a completely, totally legit, legal way to read these comics. It didn't happen.
Didn't happen. They are, it doesn't strike me as a very particularly well-established, well-spread-throughout-the-world comic book brand. I mean, this is Malibu Comics was the publisher, which I'll give them this, had a cool logo, but that's about it.
They really did, but see, the problem is, I don't really know anything that's on Malibu except for the things that I've covered on the show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and this one was new to me. Ultraverse Prime was very new to me, for sure.
I didn't even realize this one was based on a comic, although I really should have just by looking at it, until I was digging through a list on Moby Games of things inspired by comics.
Do you know if this game was well liked by people who played it?
In general, I have found that it was not.
Was not. So I looked up a YouTube video of people playing the game, and I was just watching through it, and it looks, and I wasn't going to say this, but it does look very cookie cutter, very generic kind of side scrolling beat 'em up sort of a thing. I did like the music still. I thought the music was fine. But I also did notice, I did some research into the character of Prime, which is kind of a lackluster superhero name, Prime. Normally you would want something in front of it, you know, like an Optimus Prime. That's a pretty good name. But the idea behind the character is that it's like a very Billy Batson Shazam-esque sort of a thing, where it's a kid in an adult superhero body, but it's, I mean, it's like modern day Shazam, where like in the Shazam movie, it's still Billy on the inside. Whereas back in the day, it was like a totally different, you'd be like possessed by like this god, Captain Marvel or whatever. So, but the artist was very insistent that the design of the character looks very comical. So instead of like a very well proportioned, beefy bodybuilding superhero, it was very much like, we have to make sure that the muscles look ridiculously big, but everything else looks small in comparison. So he would have like tiny hands, like an itty bitty head, and then the muscles would just be bulging like it was drawn by Rob Liefeld. I didn't really get that from this video game. That's a hot take. The video game did not make me think that those proportions lined up with the comic book. It didn't look as silly. It looked like a regular, just kind of superhero.
And, I mean, I think that's part of the weirdness of this, is that with me going through and doing my research, this kid, Kevin Green, does not always turn into the same, at least the same looking version of Prime. So you have whatever kind of superhero he kind of wants to turn into, that's what he turns into, which I think can be kind of cool, can also be kind of a cop out, and it gets a little weird.
Yes. There's like different versions of, like, there's like a Spider-Man version of it, or like a space one. I don't know. There seems to be lots of different types, which is kind of like fun for if you're the artist and you get to, because like, I guess I get the idea of if you have to draw a superhero who wears the same costume over and over again, that could be kind of potentially boring. I don't know. I'm not an artist, so I can't speak for anybody. But, or I should say I'm not an illustrator. I, of course, am a YouTuber, so I am an artiste of the highest regard. But I'm not an illustrator, so I don't really know if that does get boring. But if you have a superhero that has, like, 5 or 6 different states of being, and you could be like, ooh, now we're going to do color change, costume change arbitrarily. That can be fun.
I'd imagine it's also fun for the writer. I mean, I'm definitely not a writer, although I have been able to every once in a while accidentally put words in an order to convey meaning and feelings. But as you create kind of essentially a new character, you get to write them differently. You can give them different little dialectical, is that a word? You can give them weird little verbal things that they say, pretend to write in an accent, if that's a thing people still do. I don't know.
I think they do. I think Gambit still has that kind of like Nolan's sort of a vibe. People who write Gambit. Do people still write Gambit? I don't know. I don't follow Gambit.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, essentially that's what I was able to get about the character. It's somebody saying, hey, let's take DC Captain Marvel, but update it to a 90s thing. And I'm not going to lie, I don't really see a giant appeal here to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you say that, but, like, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the Shazam movie, and that takes this concept very literally as well. Because, again, like, Captain Marvel, Shazam, back in the day, was, like, 2 different personalities. You'd have Billy, then you'd have Captain Marvel. and a more modern interpretation of, oh, it's just Billy in a giant superhero body. And that's kind of what this character is. So, like, I get that kind of, like, wish fulfillment of, like, a teenager to be like, oh, what if I was big and strong and had superpowers and could do whatever I want and had muscles that don't even make sense? I invented new muscles for my body. Like, that makes sense to kind of have that sort of wish fulfillment there. But I just, it didn't, nothing about watching this game made me feel that. Like, if we're just on this game specifically, I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get, like, it would have been more fun to me, and I have not read the comics, so I don't know if this is where the comics go, but it seems like they might dive into this. It would be fun to me if there was, like, some very juvenile stuff of, oh, I'm like a superhero, and, like, maybe, like, one of the first levels is, like, oh, I'm running late to school, I'm gonna fly there, and I'm gonna have to, like, fly all the way, through this neighborhood and, like, just avoid whatever. Like, basically, like, Paperboy or something, but superheroes. I don't know. Like, let me tap into the mind of the protagonist who is a child, and then see what their life would be like as a superhero. Because it just feels like a generic kind of superhero beat-em-up thing. It's not even that exciting to watch.
I mean, I would tell you about some of the little storylines that I saw doing research and stuff, because, like you, I did not have a time to read a lot of the comics. I did read little pieces of them, but the storylines are all, like, your super generic stuff. Hey, there's a teacher being mean to another student. There's a bully. I mean, and I feel kind of bad saying that, because if it was something that had caught my attention more, then I probably wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you get Spider-Man is a very classic example of, like, a teenage superhero. Like, you get that idea of, if you were a teenager and you had superpowers, yeah, some of the stuff you might do might be incredibly trivial. Maybe you just want to, you know, make sure that you get to school on time, make sure that you, you know, deal with bullies, you know, all this stuff. But, like, that's kind of the appeal of these characters who are teenagers and superheroes, is you get to see the teenage experience along with being a superhero. And I feel like, again, if we're just talking about this game, which is all that I know of, really, I didn't get that. It just felt like strong person in tights punches people, punches alligators in a sewer, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, give me a reason to care about this hero specifically. Am I being too negative? I feel like I'm like coming out of the gate at, like, a 10 negativity, like, all the way at the tip top.
I mean, I was going to say, like, a 5 or a 6.
I can get meaner then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. This game smells bad. That's about as mean as I can go. I'm sorry.
I'm going to give Scott some meanless lessons while we drop some promos for a few other shows.
I appreciate that.
Behold, comic book adaptations. Yes, from the biggest blockbuster movie to the latest Netflix drama, it seems like anything that's worth its weight in back issues these days is based on a comic book. But all that variety can get a little overwhelming, right? So how do you tell the good from the bad? The DC from the D-? The MCU from the just PU? Well, that's where Behold comes in. I'm Andrew, and joined by my co-hosts Rob and Mick, we try to answer once and for all, what is the best comic book adaptation? Yes, be it movie or TV show, we'll watch it and rank it until we have our definitive number one. Tune in every fortnight and find out where your favourite ranks, which shows are worth the investment, and just exactly how many movies based on comics there really are. That's Behold, B-E-H-O-L-D exclamation mark, available on iTunes, Spotify, and all of the good podcast apps.
love the smell of movies in the morning.
There's no feeling in podcasts. There's no feeling in podcasts.
This podcast will be quite operational when your friends subscribe.
Feels. Real feels.
Not the feels. Not the feels.
Out of all the podcasts I've encountered, Real Feels was the most human.
Hey, it's Drew.
And Nathan.
And Jack.
Hey, guys, and we're the Real Feels Podcast. We come to you every other Wednesday with a brand new movie of a different genre every single time. So make sure to catch us on iTunes, Podbean, and any other podcatcher out there. You're the realest.
And the feelest.
Come to yeha.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So, Scott, there's one big reason why I did not feel really bad about finding, let's call them alternative methods for reading these comics.
Lay it on me.
The first 12 issues of the comic and three crossover issues from other series are in the game, like as technically readable things in the game.
How's the resolution on this thing? So they good, high quality scans?
They're technically readable. No, I mean, like, they definitely went back in and looks like they retyped out. Like actually typed out sure. The letters, because that's good. I mean, you can zoom in and get like Marvel Unlimited or DC Universe does, but it's more of a manual thing as you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with the Sega CD color limitations.
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I want a side-by-side comparison between the Sega CD versions and like real life scans from a human being's printer. I've never even seen one of these comics out in the wild. I don't even know if they exist outside of this game. They probably do.
I might go ask my store on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Just to see what they say.
Got some Malibu comics? Malibu? That's a funny way to spell Marvel. That's what they'll say. I'm predicting.
It's weird enough that I was getting Dynamite.
That's a funny way to say DC. Yep, that's right, everyone. There are only two.
Scott has run away. What happened to Scott? Oh, no. Scott has disappeared. And I think that the comic gods don't like him.
All right, I am back.
Good. So yeah, despite the fact that I definitely got this game totally legally, I swear, I felt no shame in looking up the comics in some gray market areas because I am not going to pay to do research for this podcast on something that I know for sure that I will never go back and read.
That is fair. I do the same thing all the time with my YouTube videos. People always compliment me on how much research I put into them. Yeah, it's just a front. I don't research anything. I just dive back into the old memory banks, and I'm just like, is that what happened? Probably. I can't be bothered to check. And then I just write it as if it's a fact. And that's how you make 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, everybody. You just never, ever check your work. I'm kidding. I work diligently. Please.
I'm very happy that you work diligently, because if you were pulling all of that out of your ass, I was going to be very mad at myself.
No, I don't mean to make myself seem over important, but researching is the thing that I spend arguably the most time on besides filming.
I let us go on that little tangent because I don't think that the people who made this game did very much research.
See, that's good. That's good. I was saying, they didn't make the proportions all wonky like the comic is supposed to be. I did that much. I did research for this podcast about this game about a superhero I've never even heard of until just now. I did more research then, these game creators. I know what this character is supposed to look like. Psh, psh, throw a couple extra pixels on his little biceps. That's what I'm saying.
It's not like they made this game for Super Nintendo and then it was canceled and then they put it on Sega CD, which should have had more opportunity for better graphical things.
Is that what happened?
That's definitely what happened.
Much research. That's where my that's where my research stopped. That makes sense as to why it seems not the best, potentially. Like, did they go? They didn't go through it all and like be like, "Oh, we're putting it on this new platform. Let's make some changes. Let's make it better."
No, it was we're putting it on this new platform. Let's add some extra things because there's a lot of extra room on the disc. So let's add some comics. Let's add some creator interviews. Let's realize that we still don't have enough room taken up on the disc and put it together with another game. So when you buy it, you buy two games that are both worth about a fifth of a game.
That's wild to me that they were like, all right, we're making this game. It's going to be on this like super advanced next gen system. And the best part about this system is you can just put a whole bunch of stuff on the disc. Wait, I thought we were going to like improve the game. Can we like add some more gameplay, add some more levels, update the details and the anime? What? No, man, we're going to put some JPEGs on there. That's going to be fun, right? People are going to love that. How's my mean lessons? Have I gotten better?
You've gotten better. You still have a ways to go.
Dang it. All right. We'll get there. This game ruined my relationship with my cat. And if you play it, it will do the same for you and your pet.
No.
Look, I don't want that to be the case, but this game is that bad.
That's the thing with this one. It's like if it was super broken bad, it could be kind of fun.
Yeah, it didn't look fun bad. It looked, and again, I've not played it, so maybe it plays extraordinarily well. Let's throw to a player right now. Hey, how'd the game play? Was it good?
I hoped you invited somebody else because my Sega CD is packed up right now while we're getting ready to move.
Oh.
So I had to just watch videos too.
Oh, okay.
But even doing I mean, I can tell it's just there's nothing really innovative about it, which I don't expect everything to have something innovative about it, but it's your super generic side-scrolling beat-em-up for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems very lackluster, and probably the harshest thing you can say about a video game is that it just seemed kind of boring. And that's the meanest thing you can really say.
I think so.
All right, that's a season wrap on Scott Nicewander. Just delivered the meanest thing you could possibly think to say. That's good. I've come so far.
You have graduated into the next level of meanness lessons.
Yes. This is where all the bad words come into play. This is where I can say things like, heck. You're gonna have to bleep that one.
I might. I might not. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll have to see what's allowed now. But you're right. Like, even a super horrible game like E.T., people remember that because it's super horrible. Hong Kong 97.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to play Hong Kong 97 because it's super horrible. Nobody wants to go and play super vanilla street fight thing.
You're exactly right. I mean, yeah, I've played a lot of bad video games in my day simply because they were just like enjoyable to be like, wow, this is so not good. But like, I don't know. I'm in that kind of space right now. I just got a Nintendo Switch like 6 months ago. And I've just been like going on to, like the Nintendo classic games or whatever, the libraries that they've got in there. And I've just been playing around with stuff. And there's a lot of stuff on there where I'm like, I'm sure people like this, but
don't know if I like this. Kind of has that same vibe. It's just a little boring to me. See, now I'm insulting Nintendo, and that's where the meme really sets in. People are not going to like that one.
This game just seems like even though they pulled it from a technically earlier console, they still didn't finish it. When you get to the end of a level, it just stops.
I noticed that, like, the music just cuts off, and it's like, can you come up with a better transition? Something like music fading in between each other, or like some sort of musical sting that kind of ends whatever song it is. Some kind of animation to kind of depict that, oh, you know, the hero is moving on, sort of thing. It just like stops, it like cuts to silence. And I was like, all right, next level, here you go. It's very not, it's not polished. That's the video game designing term. There's no polish.
It also includes my very favorite thing in video games ever, bits of the environment that go in front of your character so you can't see what's going on.
Oh, you got it. It's that good parallax. Everyone loves that. I love it when, like, that's just like any kind of old school kind of game. Like, I was thinking of like Mario 64, which is a game that I've played a lot of as a kid, but I haven't played recently. But I was watching some people play it, and I'm like, oh man, they made the camera like a physical object that interacted with the world in that game. And it would just get stuck behind objects if you like approached things from the wrong angle. It's very early technology of 3D camera and operating in 3D space. So they made the camera a character. And it was just like, you know, they did what they had to do. But it's not good. Ruins a lot of momentum. Ruins a good run that you're on. I kind of get that same similar vibe. Hey, game designers, this is me, open letter to game designers. Stop putting stuff in front of between us and our characters, please. Thank you.
Thankfully, I haven't noticed that too much in anything lately.
Yeah. I feel like the kind of theme of this podcast is that you will say something that takes you about like a sentence to very succinctly say, and then I will just go on a wild tangent for like 2 minutes that leads to nowhere. And I really hope people enjoy listening to that.
Oh, I'm just assuming that everybody comes for the guests. I mean, there's a reason why the Superman Returns episode is, hey, Michael, tell me this thing. And then I shut up for half an hour.
That's pretty good. Speaking of, though, Superman Returns, bad video game. Fun, bad, I think. Kind of falls in that line.
I will definitely look at that one later. Because Superman Returns and Death and Return to Superman are not the same thing.
No. So Superman Returns was like an Xbox game or something like that. I got that when I was a kid, when I was like in high school or middle school or something like that. And I remember staying up all night beating it, and it was so boring. but bad. It was fun bad, where you could just be Superman and do anything. But, like, it didn't feel like there were any stakes. So I was like, I don't like this. This isn't fun. I mean, it is fun, but it's not interesting. I feel like I'm just saying so many contradictory things right now. I don't know why anyone should take me seriously when it comes to talking about video games, but you should. At least some people should. Thank you for hearing me out.
The contradictory statements here, I think, works really well because there's so much contradictory things about this game. You have the perfect setup of here are some of the comics, which should be a good thing. You have all this extra room on a game that they took from an older system And you would think throwing the comics onto the game is a good thing, even controlling for the 64 color limitation. And yet it doesn't work because there's almost nothing in the game that talks about the characters or the story or anything that's going on. It's like they expect you to go read.
Yes, and that is strange to me because is the audience for existing fans who want a game for this character, or is the audience for new people who have never heard of this character? So they're like, well, in case no one's ever heard of them, let's throw some comics onto this thing so people can read up, get a little bit more information about this character that they're playing. It seems like they want both things, but they don't execute very well on either.
You have a character here who can turn into so many different versions of whoever he wants to be, and yet from everything that I saw, he is always the same first prime over muscly small-handed character. Even in the Hulk Super Nintendo game, when you lost all your energy, you turned back into Bruce Banner.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, again, like a better game would have had all that interesting stuff. Because I bet that also would have been, I mean, it would have been for sure way more interesting to play as a player, to be like, ooh, I can switch between, because then you could do a thing. And I know that this game is a very stereotypical, boring beat 'em up, but imagine that you had the ability to change into all these different kinds of this character, and that would allow you to solve different puzzles or to approach levels in a different way. Maybe even, I mean, this is like an old school kind of game, so I'm not expecting you to be able to change characters on the fly, but it increases replayability if you're playing through a level. Like, at the start of a level, you're like, this is the version of this character I want to be. I want to be the space one. And then you're flying through, you're going through this level and you have all these different abilities and you're like, ooh, there's a platform up there, but I can't get to that unless I'm the spider version. I'll have to replay this level as the spider version to see what's up on that platform. And it gives you all these different ways to approach the same level with different character abilities. It makes you want to replay the game and find all these little secrets. That's a fun game to me. And it took me like 40 seconds to come up with that idea. So get it together, game designers.
We should go be game designers.
We should be game designers. Let's quit our jobs. Let's go be game designers right now. Hand in hand, you and me, let's make games, let's go.
Let's do it. You're not so far away. We can do it.
We can do it together. We need the license to Ultraverse Prime, though, because everything that I've said can't apply to anything else. It's very specific.
We can just make up our own character that is obviously a ripoff of Prime, because Prime is obviously a ripoff anyway, so...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're fine.
I like that. I like it. See, I imagine it like that. I was talking about having the Sega Game Gear earlier. One of the games that I played on Sega Game Gear was Power Rangers, the Power Rangers video games, which are very fun. At least I remember them being fun. And they're also kind of beat 'em up style. But each Power Ranger, you would select which Ranger you wanted to be at the start of each level, and then you just play through it, and each one had their own different kind of weapon and ability and fighting style, very slightly altered. So like, we could just do that. Very similar kind of vibe. And if you lose, they also serve as like lives, right? So if you lose a level as one of these characters that you can't play the rest of the game, is that, you know? And then if you lose all of them, you're game over. You know what I mean? So it also adds incentive to save certain characters for later in the game. You're like, I know it's going to be really easy if I play space version here, but I got to play it safe right now because space version can do this thing later on in the game, and I got to make sure that space version of this character is still around.
So this is, I'm sure there's a game that exists like this. And I'm sure it's called Power Rangers, but I want to make something else with my own IP, original IP. Something's, let's get creative. Let's create a new character right now. A mild-mannered Italian plumber. Dang it. That exists. Never mind. I can't be a game designer. I just take the ideas from everybody else. Maybe I can be a game designer.
I don't know. We'll figure it
out.
How is
that? How is that rant? Rate that on, out of everyone, rank my rants this episode, please.
There isn't really anything else to say about the game. I mean, there's almost no stakes in anything. There's technically bosses, but you don't really hear much about them. There's crappy cutscene type art things in the middle of levels. Well, at the end of levels, rather, that would kind of maybe tell a story if you had any other semblance of trying to tell a story. It's weird.
It is weird. I will say that one thing I do appreciate on especially older games is the box art, and looking at the box art for this game, I would have absolutely picked this up as a kid because I loved superheroes. It's done in a very comic booky style. It's not like trying to be too realistic or anything. It is just a very, it looks like an image straight out of a comic book. It probably is. I don't know. It doesn't tell me anything. There's no story that's being painted. And in fact, the hero looks more sinister, like a villain than a hero. But I still would have looked at that and been like, ooh, what's this? What's this thing? And then probably would have played it.
So overall, what do you think this game, in preparing somebody for the comics, really gets right?
What I think gets right is, I mentioned before that I thought the music was good. I still think the music is pretty good. It's like average. Nothing stands out to me as like a good bop, but it's not bad. And it certainly feels like you're, I don't know, it just feels like a fun time. And that's about all I can say. The color palette didn't seem too gross or bad. It seemed nice and vibrant like a comic book. Comic books, especially at the time, were very vibrant. Anything before the 90s was quite vibrant. Even all the gritty stuff in the 80s was still had to be printed on the same vibrant color palette. So everything in that regard seems pretty good.
I really like the fact that the comics were in there. I like that the creator interviews were in there as short as they were. I can't think of anything else because there isn't really anything else in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which ultimately I think is what the game gets wrong, is just it's trying to get that scattershot of hitting everybody and doesn't really hit a thing.
Yeah, I have seen these creator interviews on this thing, and it does one of my favorite kind of like tropes from like the late 80s to 90s sort of the stuff. When did this game come out?
94.
Was it 90s? Okay, so it's like early 90s. It does a very 90s trope, which I really enjoy, which is it's got like one camera locked down on a tripod, and it's got another camera off to a side where the cameraman is like, what's the most wild position? What's the most wild angle I can come up with? And they're like moving frantically up and down, looking at people like from the ground up to like top down like an eagle. And it's just nonstop. And it's like, I want to bring that back. That kind of like, whoa, wild, wacky camera energy. So that's a positive, I think.
I think you do have a nice little four-legged assistant who might be able to help you out with that.
Yes. My pet horse that I just purchased. Horses are cheaper than you expect. $40. Maybe 45. No, yeah, my cat, Sparta, very great. Like, I enjoy him. He can be a fun person. He actually is not very good on camera. He hates it. He does not like being held. So he likes being held, just not only on his own terms. If you try to hold him for too long, he'll just be like, "What's going on? I don't like this." So
I know the feeling and have the scratches to prove it.
Yeah, he doesn't scratch very much. He just growls. So, thankfully,
mine just have their claws come out a little bit as they jump away.
Yeah.
But I do have the benefit of being able to have the double tripod set up with a tripod and the tripod kitty.
Oh, that's cute. A friend of mine just, her cat just gave birth to kittens, and she just got her cat, so she went from having no cats to having four cats, but is currently trying to see if they can rehome some of the kittens. And I already have two cats, and my girlfriend says no more cats, but I'm looking at these cats, these little kittens, and I'm just like, I want them. What if we got a third one?
Now,
what if we got a
third cat? Are these kittens closer to you or me?
They're closer to, like, in distance wise?
Yes.
They're closer to me. They're, like, down the street.
Okay, then you get first dibs.
I want the all black one. I have a white cat and I have, like, an orange cat, and I want the all midnight kitty. Yes, please.
Yes, void cats are very fun.
Yes. Salem from Sabrina. Love that. Little Thackeray Binks from Hocus Pocus. Love that. Anyway, those are the two black cats that I know from pop culture.
You will never meet my void cat Thor because he's the one who chews on cords.
Bagheera? Is that the Black Panther from...
That's right.
Jungle Book? Yep. That's one. Knew that one. Tweet at me your favorite pop culture black cat, please.
Tweet at both of us and make sure you include a picture.
Yes. Even if it's your own cat. It doesn't have to be a pop culture one.
Especially if it's your own cat.
Especially. Tweet at me every single day with pictures of your cat, please.
I don't know how much joking you are about that, but I would be totally serious saying that.
No, I would do it. Yes, I need some happiness. We all need some happiness.
Speaking of happiness, we are going to skip the last usual question because no, I am not giving this game to anybody, no matter what the reason.
Man, see, I thought I was being mean, but you just surpassed all of my meanness towards this game. I will say this. If there is a person out there who's a gigantic Ultraverse fan, who's like a Malibu Comics fan, who's very specifically a fan of the character Prime, or just a really big fan of characters who are almost similar to Shazam, then I will not give them the game because I don't have it, but I will at least mention it in a passing tone. Like, they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I love Prime," and I'll be like, "Yeah, it's a video game. It's a video game about it," and I'll just walk by really slowly and really silently, and that's all I'll say.
Have the game sitting on your shelf because the cover really does look good.
The cover looks good.
And then
good.
Just leave it in it's there for the whole collection. Rest of your existence.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, Scott, as always, it's wonderful to have you back on. If people want to hear you talk about things that you enjoy a little bit more than this, or a lot of bit more than this, where else can they find you around the internet?
The best place to find me would be my YouTube channel called NerdSync, NerdSync. I released a very lengthy video about Scooby-Doo. I love Scooby-Doo. It's a critical analysis of the entire franchise. It's very fun. I had a lot of fun doing it. My next video I'm working on is a video about why I love Dungeons and Dragons, what got me to finally start playing Dungeons and Dragons, and kind of my story and journey to DMing my very first game, from never playing it ever to DMing it in about a year. Learning about it, playing it, DMing, 1 year's journey of playing Dungeons and Dragons. And it features an interview with Dimension 20's Brennan Lee Mulligan, who's a very nice guy, if anyone knows Dimension 20. An excellent D&D show as well. So that is where people can find me, talking about anything and everything that I love. Mostly the channel is a backlog of superhero videos, but this year I'm trying to branch out a little bit.
But everything, I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you that I've watched everything you've ever done. But everything of yours that I have watched, I've really enjoyed.
Thank you. I'm not even sure I've watched everything I've ever made, so we're not too different, you and I.
I'm not even going to listen to this podcast again while I edit. I'm just going to cut random things out.
That's the best. That's how I've always edited, and it's served me pretty well for about 7 years. No one's complained so far. I mean, my bosses complain constantly, but who are they?
They just pay you and control half of your existence. They're not important.
Right. Right. Like, I give so much of my day to them.
Scott's bosses, I'm totally joking, but also, please come on the show.
That I for sure don't have control over.
Just get Sparta to use his little kitty eyes, please.
I've not even seen them in a while, personally.
Do they actually still exist?
We'll never know.
It's a mystery.
And if you want to know about solving mysteries, Scooby-Doo video on NerdSync YouTube brought it around full circle.
We will obviously have a link to Scott's stuff down in the show notes. We will also have a link directly to the Scooby-Doo video because it is rather good.
Thank you.
And I didn't mean that to sound like it was a surprise, because all of Scott's stuff is good, but it is a very good
surprisingly
one.
Surprisingly good.
It's so good that Scott admits that it's good.
Yeah, that is true. I rarely ever do that. I promise I don't ramble pointlessly most of my life. The Scooby-Doo video is a bit more measured than that, hopefully.
And as always, if you want to hear more from me, you best place is to go over to playcomics.com. I have links to the Facebook group and the Twitter account and the other various things that I can't be bothered to remember right now, because the world is what it is and I just don't care at the moment. There's links there. They're already there. They exist.
Yeah.
Don't forget that Play Comics is part of the Gonna Geek Network. So if you want to go check out some other nice geeky podcasts, head on over to GonnaGeek.com. Take your pick of anything there except for Play Comics, because you obviously already know that that exists. So spend your time listening to somebody else. But if you want to help support the show, there is the Patreon, which I am going to try to figure out what I can do to avoid having people pay taxes, because I just think that that's silly. And I hope that people won't have to pay taxes on a bonus episode. But I honestly, it's the 11th today as we're recording this, and I haven't even looked at what's going to be taxed. So I'll figure that out. Or you can just randomly give me money. There is a page on the Play Comics site if you want to do that, which is always linked down in the show notes, because I am lazy and make forms. And that's how I do my show notes. Also, if you like the music that we're rudely rambling on top of today, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character. hey, you're the first person to see me conducting the imaginary I'm running promos music.
That's very fun. I like that. And does that one also, that one probably goes like, but again, like change a couple things and it's copyright free.
Yeah, it's also an F sharp minor, just to make sure.
Yeah. I was doing a solid like D, and that's totally different vibe.
Neither one of us have any idea how we would do that, do we? That's what plugins are for. I will adjust the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll sound like shit because it doesn't work like that.
You just take the little pitch shifter tool and you just raise it up and down, and then it just sounds like garbage because that's not how it works.